Hello, this is Kristen Wu with the Danville Commercial News dated Sunday, April 15th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined City Council to Act on CDBG Plan. Danville City Council members this week will act on the city's Community Development Block Grant Annual Action Plan for the 2018-2019. That allocates about $900,000 in federal funding for roof replacements, building demolitions, and other programs. Danville Planning Manager Chris Milliken said officials don't have a final funding amount, but hope to by May. The annual funding comes from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. City officials are using last year's numbers, but Milliken said the estimated number could go up about $20,000. Any increase or decrease would be seen in public improvements and infrastructure. Proposed program allocations for the approximately $886,169 in funding from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, $30,000 for two accessibility modifications, $150,000 for the Neighboring Impact Program for roof replacements on about 15 homes citywide, $15,000 for homelessness emergency shelter building assistance, $200,000 for demolitions and blight removal of about 18 structures, $60,000 for economic development, $257,974 for public improvements and infrastructure, such as stormwater and sidewalks, and $173,195 for administrative reimbursement. In other business Tuesday, council members are expected to consider authorizing a new 3-year agreement with Republic Services, owner of Brickyard Landfill, for dumping fees for waste disposal. Fees are increasing around 3.3%. Per ton fees for municipal solid waste are increasing from $57.50 to $59.50, $61.50, and $63.50 each of the 3 years. Fees for construction and demolition waste are increasing from $46.50 to $48.50. $50.50 and $52.50. Fees for street sweepings are increasing from $25.50 to $28, $30, and $32. Mayor Scott Eisenhower said talk about the lifespan of the landfill has ranged from 2020 to 2040. Approving the purchase of landscape maintenance equipment for Harrison Park Golf Course, the city will be borrowing $180,000 for the purchases. The equipment costs total $192,864, with the $4,700 in trade-ins for a cost of $188,164. The additional $8,000 over the loan will come from the $10,000 available in golf course reserves. Disposing of 17 public works vehicles and equipment that the city has had all reusable parts removed and utilized in other fleet vehicles and equipment, rendering them inoperable. These include a 1-ton dump truck, 8 pickup trucks, 4 cars, 2 dump trucks, 1 grader, and a window turner. We have just about gotten all that we can out of these pieces of equipment, Eisenhower said. He said most don't move on their own, and the city will try to get the best value through scrapping the vehicles and equipment for the value of materials to be recycled. Authorizing grant compliance consultant services with Clifton Larson Allen LLP for a fee not to exceed $2,000. Authorizing the vacation of an east and west alleyway near 1012 North Vermilion Street for Fred and Kathy Cunningham. Approving disposal of a surplus Danville Mass Transit property, a 2008 24-passenger bus for sale and scrap value. Up next is Like Night and Day. Vermilion County employees show up to work in a good mood these days, thanks to their new digs. Considering they previously worked in the courthouse annex building attached to the crumbling Brezzi Tower, which forced the county to find a new insurance carrier after it was dropped several years ago, almost anything would be an improvement. In comparison, the former federal courthouse building at 201 North Vermilion Street is one of the best-built and well-maintained buildings in the city of Danville, according to Vermilion County Board Chairman Mike Marin. They spared no expense when constructing it, he said. It was built in 1911 and served as the post office before it became a federal courthouse for the Central District of Illinois in 1992. That same year, it underwent renovation. Soon, though, the federal court would move to Urbana and the building became a bankruptcy court. That too would eventually go to Urbana. For the past several years, U.S. Representative John Shimkus, Republican of Illinois, was alone in the building, save for a few local attorneys. Now he has plenty of neighbors since the county acquired the building. From February to the first week of April, each of the county's departments moved one by one every week. The county clerk, treasurer, and recorder of deeds are on the first floor, specifically so the public can have easy access to those offices. Vermilion County Treasurer Darren Duncan's office is actually a former judge's chambers from when the space served as a bankruptcy court. We got the best office, he said, of the space where treasurer employees work. Some differences between their old office in the courthouse annex and their new space includes better temperature control, cleaner carpets, and more restrooms, both private restrooms for employees and restrooms for the public to access. It's like night and day, Sharon Kramer, an account clerk, said. The marble along the walls on the first floor continues upstairs throughout each hallway. That stone, combined with the light fixtures, crown molding, and wooden doors, visually juxtapose classic craftsmanship with modern features. People come in saying they haven't been here for 20 years and they forgot how beautiful this is, Duncan said. The second floor includes Vermilion County Auditor Bill Wright's office and Marin's office, which is close to where the county board meetings will take place. That meeting room still resembles a courtroom, reminding Marin of the space where Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird gave his defense. Bill Donahue, a risk consultant for the county, noted how well maintained the historic building is, thanks to the grounds and maintenance workers. He also said IT workers were a huge help during the move-in, ensuring the phones and internet were installed and connected properly. It's a benefit and a huge uplift, Donahue said. I think people enjoy seeing the building being used. The third floor includes the Board of Review, Supervisor of Assessments, and the remainder of the County Board offices. Shimkus is also on the third floor and has recently been joined by State Senator Jo Scott Bennett, Democrat of Champaign. There's also a lower level where Technology Services is located. Public parking is available along Vermilion Street, while the 50 to 60 county employees who work in the building park in a rented lot. All floors are available via elevator. I have to pinch myself when I come to work every day. Being here puts you in a better mood, Marin said. I had people over here for a meeting, and they said this is probably the nicest county building in the state of Illinois. Up next is food bank schedules distribution dates. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank will host three pop-up food pantries serving eligible veterans on 10 to 11:30 a.m. Wednesday, as well as May 16th and June 20th at the Danville VA Chapel, 1900 East Main Street. Pop-up food pantries are single-day mobile food pantry distributions staffed almost entirely by volunteers. These distributions are designed to increase access to nutritious food to veterans who are struggling to make ends meet. About 8,000 pounds of food, including pantry staples, produce, bread, and bakery items will be shared with 100 to 150 veteran households. These distributions are open to any qualifying veteran. These distributions are open to any veteran or connected military service member who meets the income eligibility guidelines. Veterans must present proof of veteran status. Hoops in sight. Eastern Illinois Food Bank will distribute a truckload of food to area families 10 to 11:30 a.m. May 5th at First Baptist Church, 323 Seminary Street. All Vermilion County residents who meet income eligibility criteria are welcome. Participants are asked to bring boxes of or bags to transport food. The distribution is part of the Food Bank's Food Mobile program, a system of mobile food pantries designed to help bring nutritious food to areas of chronic or extreme need. Through the program, local companies and organizations are invited to contribute toward a one-day distribution of food and optionally participate in the distribution process. The cost to partner with the Food Bank on a Food Mobile distribution is $3,000. Data released by Feeding America, the nation's network of food banks, shows that 14% of people in eastern Illinois are considered food insecure, which means they sometimes lack adequate access to food, and nearly 20% of children are food insecure. All eligible residents of Vermilion County who are in need of food and grocery products can attend the food mobile distribution. To be eligible, a household must have an income at or below 185% of the federal poverty level, or about $3,793 a month for a family of four. Maximum monthly income per eligible household for both the veterans distribution and the May 5th distribution in Hoopston are $1,859, $2,504, $3,188, $4,793, $5,437, $6,581, $7,526, and $8,6,370. For each additional household member more than eight, add $644. Full eligibility criteria are listed below. Other area food mobile distributions can be found by visiting the food bank's website at www.eifoodbank.org and clicking Find Help. We're now going to move on to the obituaries. These obituaries were received by 7 p.m. Saturday. Hoopston Owen Mildred, 91, of Hoopston, died at 3:07 p.m. Friday, April 13, 2018, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Arrangements are pending at Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston. Potomac Paltridge Beverly, 88, of Potomac, died at 12:40 p.m. Friday, April 13, 2018, at her home. Services are at 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 17, 2018, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, with a visitation at 5 p.m. to the time of the service on Tuesday at the funeral home. Rossville, Ellis Dorothy M., 94, formerly of Rossville, died Friday, April 13, 2018, at Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal. Arrangements are pending at Carmody Flynn Funeral Home in Bloomington. Marilyn Cum Lee Cunningham. Marilyn Lee Cunningham, 75, of Oakwood, passed away at 9:15 p.m. April 12, 2018, at the Champaign-Urbana Nursing and Rehab Center. A celebration of life funeral service for Marilyn will be at 10 a.m. Tuesday, April 17, 2018, at Sunset's Oakwood Chapel, 105 East South Main Street, Oakwood. Officiating will be Pastor David Garver. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Monday, April 16th, at the funeral home in Oakwood. Burial will be in Partlow Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Vermilion County Animal Shelter, 14775 Caitlin Tilton Road, Danville, Illinois, 61834. John Jack Fratick. John Jack Duncan Fratick, 82, of Danville, passed away on Thursday, March 22, 2018. A celebration of life service will be held at 6 p.m. Tuesday, April 17, 2018, at Sunset Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street, Georgetown. Visitation will be held prior to the service from 5 to 6 p.m. at the funeral home. Burial will be at 10 a.m. Wednesday, April 18th, in Forest Park Cemetery. Beverly Paltridge. Beverly Paltridge, 88, of Potomac, passed away at 12:40 p.m. Friday, April 13, 2018, at her home. A celebration of life memorial service for Beverly will be held at 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 17, 2018, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville, with Pastor Randy Holden officiating. Visitation for family and friends will be 5 p.m. to the time of service on Tuesday at the funeral home. Memorial donations can be made to the Vermilion County Animal Shelter. Beverly June Moulton. Beverly June Moulton, 88, of Danville, passed away Wednesday, April 11, 2018, at OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center, Danville. Visitation will be 10 to 11 a.m. Tuesday, April 17th at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East Williams Street, Danville. Service will follow at 11 a.m. Tuesday at Pape's with Pastor Kevin Little officiating. Burial will follow at Johnson Cemetery. Michael D. Turner. Mr. Michael Dwayne Turner of Danville, Illinois, passed away peacefully in his sleep April 12, 2018, at the age of 66 after a long battle with cancer. At Michael's request, no services will be held. Flowers and condolences may be sent to Diana at 3535 North Vermilion Street, Danville, Illinois. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is in charge of arrangements. Charles Cameron Kilbury. Charles Cameron Kilbury, 25, of Georgetown, Illinois, passed away at 9:52 p.m. Tuesday, April 10, 2018, in Oakwood, Illinois. Private services will be handled by Robeson Chapel in Catlin, Illinois. Online condolences at www.robesonchapel.com. Elmer Norris Johnson. Elmer Johnson, 94, of Danville, passed away Tuesday, April 10, 2018. There will be a graveside service at 10 a.m. Monday, April 16th at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville, with Pastor Jim Blue officiating and Military Honors by American Legion Post 210. Alice L. Spencer. Alice L. Spencer, 78, of Danville, passed away on April 11, 2018. A celebration of life graveside service for Alice will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, April 19th at Oak Hill Cemetery in Danville. She will be laid to rest after the services. Memorials can be made in her name to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is in charge of arrangements. Tamara Lewis. Tamara Tammy Lewis died peacefully at OSF Sacred Heart in Danville on Wednesday, April 11, 2018, at the age of 58. Funeral services will be held privately by her family. She will be laid to rest next to her beloved parents at Stearns Cemetery in Oakwood. Rotfett Funeral Services and Crematory in Tilton is assisting the family. Condolences may be offered online at www.roarfedfuneralservices.com. Linda Blair, 82, of Danville, died at 10:45 p.m. Friday, April 13, 2018, at home. Private burial will be Danville National Cemetery. Rortfett Funeral Services is in charge of arrangements. Donald J. Dietzen, 79, passed away Saturday, April 14, 2018, at home in Danville. A Mass of Christian Burial will be held Thursday, April 19, 2018, at 10:30 a.m. at Holy Family Catholic Church, 444 East Main Street, Danville. Father Stephen Loftus will officiate. Interment will be in Resurrection Cemetery, 818 Went Avenue, Danville. Recitation of the Rosary will begin at 3:30 p.m. Wednesday, April 18, 2018, followed by visitation from 4 to 7 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville, and Thursday, April 19, 2018, from 9:30 to 10:15 a.m. at the church. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, the family requests memorial donations be directed to Resurrection Cemetery in care of Holy Family Catholic Church, 444 East Main Street, Danville. Sisters of the Holy Cross Ministry with the Poor, St. Mary's, Notre Dame, Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation for the Childhood Cancer, or another charity of choice. James Dowell, 71, of Danville, died at 9 p.m. Thursday, April 12, 2018, at home. Funeral services will be at noon Wednesday at 21st Century Worship Center, 533 East Main Street, Danville. Pastor George Dowell will officiate. Burial will be in Sandhill Memorial Park, Danville. Visitation will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday at 21st Century Worship Center. Leek and Sons Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Eunice Sands, 67, of Danville, died at 4:32 p.m. Saturday, April 14, 2018, in Urbana. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Gary Ferris and Choi Holm will officiate. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday at the funeral home. Susanna Smith, 94 of Danville, died at 10:44 a.m. Saturday, April 14, 2018, at Grandview Manor Nursing Home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek and Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams Street, Danville. Emily Anderson, 89 of Hoopston, died Friday, April 13, 2018, in Hoopston. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortford Services, 3 South Hodge Street, Tilton. Norma Meeker, 90 of Danville, died Friday, April 13, 2018, in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services, 3 South Hodge Street, Tilton. Traven M. Jones, 16 of Danville, died at 3:55 p.m. Saturday, April 7, 2018, at Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral services will be at noon Monday at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue, Danville. Pastor Norval Kreider will officiate. Burial will be in Sand Hill Cemetery, Danville. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to noon Monday at the church. Leek and Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams Street, Danville, is in charge of arrangements. Charles Kilbury, 25 of Georgetown, died at 9:52 p.m. Tuesday, April 10, 2018, in Oakwood. Private services will be held. Robeson Chapel, 103 Douglas Street, Catlin, is in charge of arrangements. James L. Dowell, 71 of Danville, died at 9 p.m. Thursday, April 12, 2018, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek and Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams Street, Danville. That is all for the obituaries. Up next is Heart of the Community. Rossville Daycare keeps old school viable. Abandoned, dilapidated school buildings that were once the heart of a community are a fairly common sight in rural Illinois and Indiana. These weather-worn structures stand, sometimes for decades, as a reminder of an area's dwindling or aging population or a school district's decision to downsize and/or consolidate. More often than not, these sturdily built schools, but to house hundreds of school children, are left to decay with no new purpose found for them. When a grade school or a high school closes, a lot of them end up not being used. Kathy Douglas, who is one of 7 volunteers on the board of directors of Mustard Seeds Christian Daycare in Rossville, said, "That could have been the case in Rossville, which deactivated its Rossville Alvin High School in 2005 and sent its 9th through 12th graders to either Bismarck Henning or Hoopston area high schools. The Rossville Alvin School District continued to house grades K through 8 in its circa 1953 grade school until fall 2013, when those students were relocated across Chicago Street to the newly remodeled former Rossville Alvin High School. Up until then, Mustard Seed Christian Daycare has been renting 1,200 square feet of space in the high school, which is also where Rossville Alvin's pre-kindergarten was housed. Rossville Alvin did a major renovation of the high school in 2013, and the high school became the grade school," Douglas said. "They chose to keep the high school because what they had was a bunch of expensive things, like more power for technology and the gym, track, and whole campus," she said. "Plus, people have a real affinity for their high school, but not so much for their grade school." Rossville Alvin Superintendent and Principal Crystal Johnson said the former high school was chosen because it better meets the needs of K through 8. "We also were running out of space at the grade school," she added. "They offered the grade school building for sale," Douglas said, "but the school district had also had appropriated money in case it needed to be torn down. The school board was prepared to spend $200,000 to tear it down," she said, "but what are you going to do with an empty 5-acre lot in the middle of town?" Johnson remembers having to decide the fate of the grade school building with the school board. "The board and I had a lot of discussion when we remodeled the high school and changed it to the grade school," she said. "We made it 100% of our priority to the taxpayers not to just let it sit there and fall apart," Johnson said to the grades of this grade school. "We didn't want it to become an eyesore in the community. We had to feel comfortable that whoever purchased it would be able to maintain it, she said, adding, they, Mustard Seed, think outside of the box to keep it running. Mustard Seed's board of directors saw value in the building and purchased it from the Rossville-Alvin School District in March 2014 for $8,000, according to Douglas. For 20 years, the school district had first right to buy it back, she said of the purchase agreement. They want control over what goes in here. Mustard Seed's board of directors didn't make the decision to purchase the building lightly. It was a gigantic leap of faith for us, and we were the only bidders, Douglas said. Our whole board is volunteer, and our philosophy was this building belongs to taxpayers, and we're just the caretakers. Rossville has always been proud of their schools, she said. The 56,000 square foot building plus historic gym from 1920, sitting on 5 acres, however, was too large for Mustard Seed that currently cares for 82 children, ranging in age from 6 weeks to 12 weeks old. We thought, what are we going to do with this? Douglas said. Mustard Seed, which began in 2007 with two employees caring for three children as an outreach mission of Rossville United Methodist Church, but now operates as a separate entity, didn't have to wait long for an answer. The Vermilion County Regional Office of Education contacted Mustard Seed about an alternative program from Chicago that was interested in the Rossville site. At about the same time, Cunningham Children's Home in Urbana reached out to Mustard Seed about housing a similar program for children from Vermilion County school districts. Mustard Seed rents out the other half building for the former junior high wing built in 1969 to Cunningham Children's Home for their Circle Academy, Vermilion, a therapeutic day school with a special education programming. It, the school site, employs as many people as when it was a grade school, Douglas said, adding that Mustard Seed employs 20 and Circle Academy. Vermilion employs 25 to 30. The partnership between the two has been a beneficial one. They split the bills with us, gas, electricity, security for the building, and pest control, Douglas said. We also schedule times with them to use the playground and gym. Circle Academy Vermilion paid for their own renovations, including fiber optic communications for their computers and phones in the former junior high wing that they use. Mustard Seed has also made renovations to the entire building, including installing backup heating and air conditioning units and fencing in all four playgrounds on the property. Douglas said divine intervention has made some of the improvements at the building possible as well. Every time we hit a rough patch financially, people have come forth with donations so we could stay open, she said. For example, the old grade school never had a cafeteria, but Mustard Seed has been able to add small kitchen due to someone's generosity. In addition, Mustard Seed has started a fund to pay for new roofs over the school and gym, but because of last May's tornado in Rossville, insurance paid for the new roofs. The building is used by community members as well, Rossville said. The freestanding historic gym from 1920 has become a hub of activity for the community. Douglas said she's happy the former grade school is thriving as it cares for the community's next generation. We continue to grow and the building is being improved and not being left to sit vacant, she said. The best thing I like to hear is that a family brought their house in Rossville because of us. This has been Kristen Wu with the Danville Commercial News, dated Sunday, April 15th, 2018. I look forward to reading with you again soon.